do you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl or win some playoff games next year without Clowney? I mean, are you better off without him? Because I can think about a lot of games where he made a lot of plays and was hitting quarterbacks and was causing havoc in the backfield. Now, part of me, getting back to what Seth and I were talking about, they give him a lot of freedom and they let him do a lot of different things. So part of me sometimes wonders, okay, how much of it is Clowney being a special player and how much of it is sort of the role they've carved out for him?
That was Ross Tucker on the show on Tuesday morning. Ross joins us every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Kyle, I want to ask you about that. And I don't agree with Ross's premise about Clowney and the special player, but more like, all right, they give Watt and Clowney all this freedom. And if you look at the last, not just game, but the last two games against Indianapolis, they could not get to Andrew Luck.
And let me jump in here, Kylie, real quick, because Mike did something. I didn't call him out on air about it at the time. But no, because you did it in a meeting. I'd sat in this room three or four times that it concerns me that Texans' pass rush isn't disciplined at times. Guys say they take inside moves. We're sitting in a post-show meeting one day, and Mike was like, do you think it's possible that the Texans aren't disciplined enough in their pass rush?
I'm a disgrace.
And I was just like, yeah, I suppose it's possible. Like,
is it possible? Right, yeah. I was brilliant new idea.
What I've always said, Kylie, because Kylie, you know this, like when I played with really good defensive ends, what we tried to have is a relationship where, like, okay, this guy, I want him to be able to do whatever he wants. So I'm a defensive tackle. I'm in the inside. If he takes an inside move, I see it with my peripheral vision, and I go out to replace him because he's, like, the marquee guy. What concerns me is that the Texans haven't done a good job of that. Like, when Clowney takes an inside move, nobody's there to replace him, and then Andrew Luck rolls out and takes three steps, and it's a 40-yard reception.
Yeah, no, without question. I mean, we've talked about it before. Junior Seau and Kurt Govea. I think I brought that story up one time this year. But Kurt Govea's job was Junior would just do whatever.
Yeah.
And Kurt Govea would cover up. He understood the defense well enough in order to cover up. And we want...
He would see if Seau blitzed when he wasn't supposed to blitz,
right.
Govea would take his void in the coverage.
Absolutely, because you know that he's going to take away that gap, so now you need to replace.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fallback for a linebacker. And that's typically what really good interior defensive linemen do as well, right? They're kind of covering up for the prolific athletes that you maybe have on the ends. And we want J.J. Watt doing that. We want Clowney doing that because that is where they wreak havoc.
Yeah,
they are very, very good at that. But I think what ends up happening and what we saw early on, especially the first couple games of the season, is everybody wanted to be J.J. Watt. Everybody wanted, they saw how he was successful making his moves, taking the inside, you know, or jumping out of his responsibility to go make a play. And everybody was trying to do it, from interior linemen to outside linemen, and they're all doing it at the same time. And so, yes, the discipline with the pass rush, you know, you want JJ because he's done a very good job of knowing when to take risk. To have the capability to do that within the defensive, you know, structure, but we do need guys to also, you know, play their responsibility and play their role.
Yeah.
And cover for them.
I would just be troubled if I'm Brian Gain just looking at this and realizing, all right, my team is built on these two guys, and in these two games, they could barely even hit Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. Like, that is really, really troubling when you look at the long term of this division and what you have to do against Indianapolis. Like, we all know they have to rebuild the secondary, but those guys have to play well, and they were not able to be effective enough.
I think this is what I would say, is that if you want a genuinely good pass rush in the NFL, it's not enough just to have two really good pass rushers, or let's say one and a half really good pass rushers. Because I don't, like, honestly, Clowney's very effective in the role they have him do, but in terms of being a pure, like, Von Miller-type edge rusher, he's not that guy. And he's not an Aaron Donald interior rusher.
Yes.
But he's a good pass rusher. Versus, like, say the Eagles last year, where they've got six, seven guys.
Waves.
You can roll in. Waves! That's the word. Waves. And in today's NFL, where you're playing nickel and dime a lot. You've got your pass rush personnel out there a lot. The Texans simply don't have, like, four defensive linemen that look like the guys you would typically have out there on nickel and dime. They've always got at least one, like, run-stuffing-looking defensive tackle out there on their four-man front. And I think that's maybe where they got to start thinking a little bit more team speed.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know whether or not Clowney would be very productive if you just lined him up on the right side,
right,
the right defensive end, and just let him rush. Because to be honest, pass rushing is about setting stuff up. It's about reps. It's about reps going against the same guy. Because remember, you only need to win two times, you know, to have a phenomenal game against an individual. And I just don't think that he gets enough. He is moving around so often. I don't know if he's getting much consistency and much ability to hone his craft of pass rushing.
He's like a siege weapon where you might be moving him around the castle to different parts and attacking different parts of the wall and trying to find where it's at its weakest.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like essentially a cannon. All right, we're going to shoot at the lower northwest wall. We're going to shoot at the northeast wall. And then when you find that weak point, I guess you would continue to use him in that same spot because he is all power. I mean, that's the other thing I think as well. And he's young, and Seth, I'm sure, you know, as someone who's been there and done that, you probably over time developed some skills that made you a better pass rusher.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's always going to be about power, and that's why I think you move him around, because when you have this guy just exploding into the offensive line with basically only a couple of steps to do so, he can disrupt so many different aspects of it. And I feel like that is a bigger that for him is always going to be his number one strength. Well, I don't know if it's ever going to be something else.
Kylie, tell me if this is what this is like. Everything you said, I agree with it, like most of the time, Paul. The thing that concerned me about the playoff game was that in the run game, Jadeveon Clowney is typically very smart. He recognizes, like, when, hey, there might be a reverse here or something. Like, he flubs it every now and then. But in the run game versus the Colts, it looked like he just lost his composure. Like, on the goal line, he was leaping in the air.
Do you think it was possibly trucked because of the fact that it was sort of a contract game for him?
I mean, he was trying too hard. You know, like, he was just... He wasn't playing his typical way. That's where I was more concerned than anything, because it's not just his pass rusher. Like, Kyle and I have both talked about how he's not necessarily a pure pass rusher, but he is a combo pass rusher / run annihilator, and he wasn't the run annihilator. That's what, like, did that surprise you, Kylie?
Well, again, I know it comes back to, I think they schemed for him.
Yeah.
I really think they did things to take advantage of him wanting to make a play. And you know, like, for example, you see the reverse that occurred,
yeah,
right? Like, that,
yep,
was a really easy play that, you know, in reality, he was just being so aggressive,
yeah,
trying to run down the running back on the other side of the field that you just were able to just go right around him.
But I feel like he's typically, and he's messed that up before. It's not like he's never made that mistake before. But especially on that, like, I was watching and I was kind of keying in him on that play. And, like, you can see from the backfield action immediately, like, where his eyes would take him, he should be seeing that reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's looking at that pulling guard and, like, his next read is like, oh, there's a reverse coming. He completely lost it. I guess maybe they made him out early. They realized, like, wow, Clowney's really hyper-aggressive today. Let's pick on him.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think they... And I know I keep going back to it. That was within the first 15 plays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I kind of believe that this was a setup, mm-hmm, expecting for this similar type outcome. Hey, we're going to test this because, you know, he has a tendency early on to run down running backs in the backfield.
In the game on Saturday, Whitney Mercilus played 39 snaps. That is less than half. What do you do about him with a year left on his deal?
He is a very good player. He had a really tough role. I feel like he was one of the best teammates, you know, that in the modern NFL that you could possibly have. He just was like, hey, look, this sucks. I'm not going to get to do what I'm good at doing. You're
going
to ask me to do a whole bunch of stuff that, to be honest, I've never really done, and I'm not that good at doing, but I'm just going to do it for the team. And so a guy like that, you have to have around. That is a character. That is a guy who's bought in. So I would like to see him have the opportunity to line up at one place and just play for, you know, like he did, you know, when one of the guys were hurt.
I guess for both of you guys, can they find a way to try to maximize just the raw talent on defense, have Watt rush more from the inside and have those two guys rush on the outside? Just because it seems like if we're discussing the fact that they couldn't get to Andrew Luck, and this defense needs to get to the quarterback to succeed, that you're better off, even if it's not great for Watt or not ideal for Clowney, having all three of those guys gives you the best chance to actually get to the quarterback in some way.
Without question, because that was my frustration, and that's why I was preaching and begging for more cover two, is, hey, look, if you're not getting to the quarterback with rushing six guys to where everyone's getting a one-on-one, then you might as well rush four and just go from the same plot and have your back end looking back at the quarterback and breaking on the ball. Yep. And so that is kind of what I was arguing this entire time, because I do believe our guys are talented. I do believe that they can win one-on-one. I just think they're always moving around in different situations to where they're just not getting an ability to set guys up for the next
jack
move.
Of all trades, master of none, as one of our listeners points out. You just become...
I can see that.
You're really... Well, and that's one of my concerns with Bill O'Brien always in his love of versatility. Is like, okay, are you really... Do you end up being... really mediocre at a bunch of things. Like, wow, look at this guy. He can be mediocre at multiple things. It's incredible. He's like a Swiss Army knife. Nobody likes Swiss Army knives. They're bulky in your pocket.
They are bulky.
They don't work at the actual job. Like, oh, there's scissors on my Swiss Army knife. Yeah, they suck. The scissors suck.
They're awful.
So nobody...
they're kind of terrible.
This love of Swiss Army knives on your football team, I feel, is a little overstated.
It's very overstated. And it's actually... Yeah. It's so overstated. There's been a saying in the NFL for years where the more you can do... the more you will do, and the less you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what we said with...
You know, that's just the reality. If you can play special teams and you're good at that and you're good at... You know what? Then you're just not going to get paid.
It's actually called the Patriot way.
Exactly. That is the Patriot way.
It's a Connor Barwin conundrum.